Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Well, welcome to the most generous time of the year. December alone accounts for about 30% of all charitable contributions, according to the National Philanthropic Trust. And online giving is growing. Interestingly, 22% of online gifts are made just in the last 2 days of the year. But there's still a lot of charity that happens the old-fashioned way, person to person. We're a fan of those creative fundraisers that pop up this time of year. At Ball State, the fraternity Phi Beta Sigma held its Sigma Sleepout for the 30th year, standing out at the Scramble Light at the center of campus for 24 hours to raise money for the homeless. This is what it sounded like one recent year. We talked with Chris Clifton and Darian Bailey a little more than halfway through this year's fundraiser on a 30-degree night with music in the background, students dancing, and cars honking in support.
My name is Christopher Clifton. I'm a junior here at Ball State University. Tonight we're doing Sigma Sleepout for the Homeless, and we're going to be out here till 8 a.m. It's a sleepout event where we stand outside of the Scramble Light for 24 hours, collecting canned goods, monetary donations, and clothing. All that goes to the Muncie Mission. We take men's and women's clothing, take it all to Muncie Mission. They separate it and send it to appropriate shelters around Muncie. So.
And it's your fraternity?
Yes, our fraternity, the Ball State chapter. It's our 30th year doing it.
It's also kind of fun, isn't it? I mean, you have a bunch of people together. They're working for a good cause. Puts people in a good mood.
Yeah, it's amazingly fun. It's, like I said, it's always like a big party. More than happy to always do it. I look forward to it. It's our biggest event of the year. And it's always something that campus looks forward to. People always remember it.
Have you ever had any chance to volunteer or help folks out yourself? I mean, have you ever seen personally the need of people around Thanksgiving?
Yes. I'm from Indianapolis. So going back, I've witnessed the homeless population in Indianapolis itself growing. That's always been very shocking. Every time I go back, I feel like there's more. And I feel like even in Muncie, I see that happening as well. So being able to help in some way, I mean, helps you sleep at night.
Doesn't it seem as if there are more homeless people, at least when you go to a place like Indianapolis?
I don't really know the exact numbers, but it's always shocking, especially coming off the interstate off on Michigan Road and seeing there's always somebody standing there. Growing up, that wasn't always the case, but now seeing that, it's such a huge change that it's heartbreaking.
What are you studying here at Ball State?
I'm actually a history major at Ball State. I have a minor in business.
What do you want to do?
I want to go into student affairs. So working at a campus level with students through organizations, through financial aid, and any kind of administration possible to help students enjoy their experience at college.
Do you get the sense that students are pretty idealistic, and when they get a chance to do something like this, you know, are they any more or less interested in doing that than folks at large, you think?
I believe so. Actually, being on campus and being involved in different organizations kind of motivated me to go into student affairs. It's very humbling. And it, in my opinion, student affairs is a great way to give back to people. I feel education is the most important thing in life. So being able to work with students and keeping them in school, I feel like that's very important.
Can you think of a time, can you tell me a story about a time that you were able to help somebody because of the work that you do with students?
Just talking to new freshmen and things, when I got here, I had somebody come to me and kind of mentor me, some of my brothers, others on campus, but being able to have that older person, that big brother that you can go to and talk to and let you know that you are important for being here.
Have you ever been to Muncie Mission? You ever had a chance to go over there and see that operation?
Yes, actually, after we finished with this at 8 a.m., around 8 a.m. or possibly even the next day, we'll go take all this to the Muncie Mission and go there, talk to some of the people there, take tours of the Muncie Mission and things like that.
What do you think when you're there? It's a slice of life that we don't often see.
Yes, it gives you a new aspect on things. It makes you very appreciative of what you do have, but also it makes you want to give back and help those who don't have. It's one of those things where it makes you a good citizen. I believe citizenship is more than just being born in a country. It's what you give back to the country.
Yeah, my name is Darian Bailey. I am a pre-med biology major with a minor in chemistry. I am a senior here at Ball State, and I am a new member of Phi Beta Sigma, and this is my second year doing Sigma Sleep Out. When I did it last year, I know I wasn't a member yet, but this is like my first time doing it as like an actual member. And here we're pretty much out here for 24 hours collecting monetary donations, canned goods and clothing, and also toiletries. And so we've been doing this since 8 a.m, and we're going all the way to 8 a.m. tomorrow. So
24 hours. What, I didn't check the temperature. What, how cool is it tonight? It's not snowing or anything, but it's not warm either.
30.
It's about 30 degrees?
Yeah, it's about 30 degrees.
It looks like you're having a good time, though, and you ought to, right? If you're doing a good deed, you know, you may as well have some people together.
Yeah, we're definitely having a good time. We came prepared, though. Even though it was cold outside, I made sure I had, you know, extra clothing on, hand warmers, so everybody who came out to help was, you know, doing a good deed. They was comfortable, and they enjoyed helping out as well.
Darian, where are you from?
I am actually from Chicago, Illinois.
So, you know, when we talk about the need of people, and this is that time of year, right, when we really notice it. It's gotten colder. You know, some people are out on the street. What's your thought on that? Have you had a chance to see that for yourself?
Yes, actually, I've seen that a lot, especially coming from Chicago. When it gets cold outside, it's just heartbreaking to see people still outside and still homeless. You know, you see that in the summertime, people stand outside, but it just kind of hurts your heart to see people standing in the cold, which is why I feel like Muncie Mission is doing a big justice for the people who don't have homes and giving people shelter, you know, heat, food, you know, stuff to make them feel comfortable when it gets cold outside because they're less fortunate.
How receptive do you think people in general are to helping? On the one hand, you know, this time of year, people throw money in the kettle and that sort of thing. Do you think people today are any more or less generous than they have been in the past?
Yeah, I think people are generous around this time just because this is a perfect time to be generous. Like, it's around Christmas time, people go Christmas shopping, and then they see organizations like us who are trying to collect, you know, goods and stuff for people who can't even buy Christmas gifts, you know, nonetheless think about, you know, what they're going to eat the next day. And so I think this is like a perfect time, and I think this is the time where people feel like, oh, wow, you know, I'm finna get ready to buy this flat screen TV, but here's this organization trying to collect canned goods for somebody else. You know what I mean? So this is really the time for giving.
Have you ever had the chance to do any volunteer work yourself with any groups?
Yes, I have. I am in a Greek organization, and I do a lot of community service with other Greek organizations. And the last Greek community service that I did was actually at a church in Muncie. And pretty much what their goal was to give like bags of groceries to people who didn't have money to buy groceries. And so we gave like laundry detergent, bags of apples, you know, vegetables. We gave like, you know, goodie bags to like kids and everything. They were giving out free haircuts and, you know, jackets and everything. And so that was like one of my first times doing that at a church. And so I didn't know they had anything like that in Muncie, but I'll make sure I go back next year because it was a pretty exciting thing when I got to see people's faces light up when they had to get, you know, simple things like laundry detergent. You know, it was surprising to me that it was so many people that could not, you know, afford to get things like that.
Tell me about your interest in medicine. Why do you want to be a doctor?
I want to be a doctor just because ever since I was younger, I've always had like a real strong urge to help people. And like my passion is in science, it's in math and science. And so I believe, you know, with my passion and then with my goal of always wanting to help people in that combination, I just wanted to be a doctor, and I actually want to specialize in neuroscience. And so I think that that's the best way I can help people. I kind of just want to heal the world with, you know, everything that I learned. So.
Have you had the chance to do, you know, any work around hospitals or anything like that yet?
Yeah, I actually volunteer from time to time at the Ball State Memorial Hospital, and it's pretty rewarding too, just to see like all the people, because I work with older people who are at the hospital, and I work in the rehabilitation department, and a lot of those people are, you know, they're always usually down or depressed because a lot of their families just kind of, you know, leave them, you know, at the hospital. They usually don't have anybody to talk to, just like a senior home. And so they're really appreciative just to have, you know, somebody to talk to. And so I really kind of appreciate that feeling of, you know, just giving somebody that time of day and making them feel better.
Chris and Darian, can I ask you off topic, but it occurs to me, I probably should ask you, you know, with everything that's going on around college campuses around the country, how are African-American folks treated at Ball State?
Yeah, I think that within the Ball State community, I feel like that ever since I've been here, there have been, you know, for the most part, a generally good experience for me as an African American. There have been a few, you know, down times where I was like, you know what, that's not really right. But I feel like for the most part, I've had a pretty good experience as far as like, you know, globally and, you know, or countrywide. I feel like the media tries to make a different story out of what happens on college campuses. And I feel like, you know, nowadays, the world isn't as bad as, you know, the media likes to make it seem. And so just with my experience here and how things kind of blow out of proportion, I feel like, you know, things aren't just, you know, as they seem in the media.
Mm-hmm. Coming from Chicago, how are race relations here compared with where you're from?
Well, race relations here, it's a lot different. It's a different type of feel, because the area where I'm from, I didn't grow up around like a lot of different races. I grew up around a mostly African American, you know, community, and I didn't realize that on my part, when I came to college, that I would be surrounded by a whole, you know, fleet of different ethnicities. And so it just kind of took me by surprise to be kind of thrown in a different environment. And so I didn't really get to experience, you know, a lot of, you know, race, you know, relations as a kid growing up, because I was mostly surrounded by African Americans.
Even from Indianapolis, coming here, I grew up in a very, very diverse environment. So coming here and having, being more of a minority, that was a kind of different feeling. But I feel like at times it also makes a strong community. I feel like the community at Ball State is very good at trying to unite each other and try to express that feeling of unity with each other.
Have you been treated pretty well since you've been here?
Yes, I have. I do actually. I'm happy I came here. I could have gone anywhere else in the world, and I'm happy I came to Ball State.
That is Chris Clifton and Darian Bailey, two Ball State members of Phi Beta Sigma, a predominantly African-American fraternity. The group held a 24-hour fundraiser to benefit the Muncie Mission, collecting money, food, and clothing as they stood, and sometimes danced, at the scramble light at the center of campus. Their goal was $2,000. Like volunteers everywhere, they also took something away from the experience.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio, from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Talking about the Ball State students raising money for the Muncie Mission, we went over to the mission to see how they're doing and caught up with Executive Director Frank Baldwin in the kitchen as they were getting ready for dinner.
Yeah, we're in our dining hall. Our kitchen crew is getting ready for dinner tonight. One of the things that we have been really fortunate is that at the 4-H fair, several hogs were bought and then donated to the mission. And so tonight the guys are having pork chops for dinner and boiled potatoes. And we're very fortunate that one of our residents right now is a professionally trained chef. And this guy cranked out some wonderful food, really popular with our residents. And so all of the food that we're having tonight has been donated by the community. Potatoes came in from farmers earlier in the year. And so our crew has been working and prepping those and getting ready to boil those. We're going to have a great dinner tonight.
Mealtime, it means something here.
It really does, because not all these guys knew where their next meal was coming from prior to coming to the mission. And here, through the community, we're able to feed them wonderful meals. And I always tell an individual when he first checked into the mission, you can expect to gain about 10 to 15 pounds if you're going to be here for, you know, 4 or 5 months. And it happens.
There's a program that people follow when they're here that helps them toward recovery.
We have three different programs at the Muncie Mission. And the first program that most of the guys are going to come into is the emergency shelter. And they can stay at the mission for 30, 45 days while they're looking for work. Maybe they're needing to just kind of get a little break, get their life established, and shake the street dust off a little bit, and then move on. But then there's another program, which is a year-long extensive rehabilitation program. And in this program, we have four addictions counselors and one mental health counselor here at the Mission. And these guys go through and they begin to address the cause of their addiction and learn tools to help manage that addiction. We've recently put a name to our program. We call it the Liberty Street Recovery Program, since we are here on Liberty Street. And it's providing an opportunity for these guys to get rehabilitation at no cost to them, where they might not have been able to afford that in another way. And we definitely see lives that are changed. One of the things that we're starting to do is our graduation programs. When they graduate from the Liberty Street Recovery Program, it is a time of celebration. And so we've been inviting the public into our graduations. One of the high schools has been providing a band, and we play pomp and circumstance. These guys dress up in suits and they walk down and they graduate from the program. We'd love for the community to be a part of that and to witness that, because it's so incredibly rewarding to see this individual graduate and tell his story in person. It's also good for them to see the community coming around and standing with them at this time, this key point in their life, saying, hey, you know what? You're not alone. We're going to stand with you. We're here to support you. You have someone to walk with you through your life. And so the graduations, we have at this point three per year. And we'll be putting information on our Facebook page and on the website, MuncieMission.org. We've already have outgrown the mission for that. And so our next graduation, which is going to be in January, is going to be at Avondale United Methodist Church. And because we need a larger venue, and yet it's very close to the mission. And we hope to outgrow that soon and have to find a larger place.
We left the kitchen and went to Frank Baldwin's office, where the mission director talked about a chance encounter with somebody who needed help.
Just this past week, I had stopped into a Wendy's, and I was in the Muncie Mission van, so I had the sign on it, and I was standing at the counter, and someone approached me. It was a man, and he was just layered in layers of clothing. It looked like he was wearing all the clothing that he owned. And indicated to me that he was on the street, and it was very, very cold. And I asked him, well, where are you going to stay tonight? And he said, I don't have a place. And I said, well, come with me. Let's go. Let's go to the mission. And he was a little bit reluctant. I think he may have been under the influence of something. But nevertheless, we convinced him to come in and to get out of the cold and offer him a warm meal and a warm bed and a safe place to sleep. And that's what it's all about, caring for those individuals in our community that are less fortunate.
I'm guessing you've seen cases in which people get better, that they use this boost to change their lives.
It is. This past year, I have began to research, where's the alumni of the Muncie Mission? And so started doing a little bit of contacting some of the people that have been stayed here at the mission before, and it's been amazing. I found one gentleman who's driving a bus here in Muncie. I found another gentleman who's an athletic director for a school in Ohio. Found another gentleman who's an engineer for one of our large plants here in Muncie. And on and on and on. And so there are guys that will come in temporarily and just get a place to sleep. But then there are guys that will come in and they're looking for a change. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the Muncie Mission offers them that the tools necessary to make good decisions in their life, to get them back on track, reintegrate them into society. I was speaking at a school here in Muncie this past year, And at the end, talking about the mission, talking about the work that we do, and at the end of the class, there were questions and answers, and we were just about to wrap up. And there was this very nice-looking gentleman on the back row. He was an older student, and raised his hand, and he said, "I got to tell you, 2.5 years ago, I was a resident at the Muncie Mission." And now he was close to graduating. He has written or authored a children's book. I have a copy of it on my desk over here. And it's a book that relates to homelessness. He's telling his story in this. And so there are wonderful stories of transformation in an individual's life that have come through the Muncie Mission. All of this is only possible through a partnership in the community. The Muncie Mission is just a building with some staff to help take care of it, of our individuals, take care of the daily activities. But it's the partnership in the community that makes the difference.
And you're seeing an increased need this year. Can you talk about that?
Yes. This year, since July, we have noticed an increase in our population. As a matter of fact, we are averaging 25 more individuals per month in residence than we were this time last year. And so that's been a demand on our resources. But it's beyond just the cold weather. I mean, we've noticed this in July, so it's been just a trend this year. And it's not only seen in our homeless shelter, but also in our family service.
Well, I need dollars. Share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me? Come on, share your dollar with me. Go ahead, share your dollar with me.
Frank Baldwin, Executive Director of the Muncie Mission, on the work they do helping people put their lives back together. I was curious about the contributing causes of the disrupted lives he has seen. I expected him to say alcohol, but no, the number one and two top issues for the people they are seeing, meth and heroin. The good news is there's a strong response of compassion from the community, including Ball State students who volunteer at the Muncie Mission, and the fraternity members who stayed up all night recently at the center of campus. We talked to them, raising money, food, and awareness about the work of the Muncie Mission. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.